587. 587. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place in the sweet by and by.
Impressions of heaven. It's quite a subject to me. It's been on my mind for probably the last 6 months or so. And I just have one thought to share tonight. And that is, I would like to encourage us to keep an open mind to what heaven is really like. I think it's, and of course, it's far beyond what we can ever imagine. But some time ago, like I said, probably about 6 or 8 months ago, I was listening to a podcast. And the guest speaker on this podcast, he said it just kind of matter-of-factly, like he just knew it. And it's kind of an elementary thought, but he said, there are colors in heaven that we don't even know about. And you know, we think of the colors we see today, and you know, red, green, blue, you know, the different mixtures of colors and stuff. But he said there are colors that are much more beautiful. And I know that's an elementary thought, but I think it's far beyond what we'll ever think about here on earth. So let's keep an open mind tonight. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, before the service, and we thank you for this day, even though it's windy outside. Help us to have an open mind tonight as we think about heaven and what you have prepared for us. And help us to be faithful so that we can enjoy it someday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jana, and then two songs by school kids.
I think heaven will be glorious and perfect. There will be no pain. I think everybody's favorite animals will be there, including their favorite pets.
I think heaven will be wonderful. It will be fun to see all the people and the sick made well, and I want to go there someday.
Thank you.
Dive of Heaven by Stan and Two Men's Group, songs by Tony.
Good evening. I feel a little bit unqualified. We heard about this morning about being qualified a little bit there. I feel like I'm not one of those that is very qualified for this project, but had limited time this week and ended up trying to spend most of the day yesterday studying, and it's hard to cram and get anything too deep, but we'll try. I thought we'd start off in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go and we're going to read about Paul here just a little bit. And I knew 2 Corinthians 12:2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. For such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. This is Paul saying that he doesn't know if his experience was physical or whether it was strictly spiritual. He just wasn't sure. We're going to go, and then also in that he talks about the third heaven, and the third heaven has there's three heavens, and we're going to talk about the third one tonight. The first heaven is like where your birds are, just around us. Your second heaven is where the stars are, and your third heaven is paradise. I'm curious a little bit tonight, what comes to mind when you think about the word paradise? I looked the word up, and I found it interesting. It originally meant a walled garden filled with trees and well-watered. Synonyms would be heaven, bliss, or Zion. So thinking about it as the Garden of Eden. And we're gonna explore that idea a little bit. We're gonna go to Revelations, and we're gonna start in Revelations 21, and we're gonna go through what John the Revelator saw in his vision. And so whether this vision, I guess to me, is somewhat, there's so much symbology in this vision that I'm not really quite sure whether or not this vision is really what we're going to see when we get to heaven, or whether this was spiritual, or whether it applies to the church. It's not 100% obvious to me, but we'll go through it a little bit here tonight, and we'll look at it. We'll start at Revelations 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Anybody know why there wouldn't be a sea in heaven? I'm curious. Anybody know that one? So the sea is often associated with the abyss or evil or lost my thought here. I have a note on it somewhere, but it might be at the beginning. Uncontrolled force, like an uncontrolled force, would be the sea as well. And so it makes sense why that wouldn't be in heaven. That's why that idea is there. Going on to two. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is a restoration to how it was before evil began in the garden with Adam and Eve being banished. Then we're going to And this also ties back to Genesis 3:8. They heard the voice of the Lord their God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is them being getting our mind put back towards the garden again, once again. And he sat upon a throne. And behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are truthful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of water of life freely. This would be like eternal life is restored, or no death like it was in the garden again. Okay, I think we're going to skip to 21:11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone, most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. This is talking about the church or the bride. And this is showing that the bride will show the glory of God. And they had a wall and a great height, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The angels at the gates are signaled back to Garden of Eden, where we have the angels keeping mankind from returning back to the tree of life. And it's also, we'll go on, I think. On the east side, 3 gates, and on the north side, 3 gates, and on the south side, 3 gates, and on the west side, 3 gates. Lots of gates so that there would be easy access to the city, once again. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked to me and had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as a large as the breadth, and measures the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height are equal. So this is the New Jerusalem we're talking about, and it's perfectly square. It's roughly those numbers, if I'm not mistaken, it's 1,500 miles. The numbers say 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles every direction, 1,500 miles high. That seems a little bit out of my imagination, the height especially, because like the International Space Station is floating around at what, 240 miles or something like that. It's not very high compared to this 15,000. One thing I will say about this is there's an idea that out there that this is not actually supposed to be literal measurements, but just to give the idea that there is plenty of room for God, all of God's people in it, in the city, essentially. And he measured the wall thereof, and 44 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. So the wall would be roughly 216 feet, and it being tall like that would represent the safety of the city. This is a safe place. This is a safe environment. I'm not going to try to read the next part. This is talking about the walls being built of jasper and pure gold and clear glass, and then there's a bunch of stones. And I don't think that I can read the stones and make them make sense. But one thing I did notice is that in Ezekiel 28:13, Ezekiel lists at least five of these stones as that are listed here as being in the garden originally. This is again possibly drawing our attention back to the garden. I won't state that. There's one of the issues with our Bible is that the New Testament was translated from Greek and the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew. And so anytime that they're going back and forth, there's sometimes some discrepancies of how the translators worked to say what they had to say, if that makes sense. And so I don't know if the different names, there's like six of these names are different, and I'm not sure if that's that or if it's just they're different jewels. I didn't have time to study it and find out. We're going to skip down here now to 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold as transparent glass. I want to take a little bit and think about these pearls. So to create a pearl, a piece of sand or something has to get into a, an oyster, I think it is, or a mussel. And this is a defense mechanism to keep parasites and everything bad out, which I would take that to mean that when Jesus came down to earth, he took on that pain and suffering for us, and that created this pearl, which is the gate by which we enter the kingdom, would be how I think about that. And I saw no temple thereon for the Lord Almighty. I saw no temple thereon. That is something to take note of in verse 22 here. To the mind of the Jew, to see no temple meant that that God's presence wouldn't be here. They would have associated God's presence with the temple being there. And then John goes on to say, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And so that was noteworthy to John, I believe, that there was no temple. And the city had no need of a sun, neither of the moon, to shine, for it was the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I would say that this here turns our minds back to the beginning when God created the light, and this is another slight, it's not very obvious, but it is another thing to make us think back to the garden, and that we are restoring things back to the garden. We're going to skip down to 'And the nations of them which were saved walked in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it.' The gates of it shall not be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. This, I would say, represents that permanent access to God, a restoration back to the garden again, that we would have access to God. Then we're going to start again here at chapter 22, and we're going to go through here a little bit. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I was thinking about this, the water of life coming from God. We all know that God is the creator and all life must come from him. And also the fact that in the garden there was a big river with four flowing off of it. I think this would also bring our minds back to the river. In the midst of the tree of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm sure there's some significance in 12. Not exactly sure in this case what it is. There would be the 12 apostles or the 12... I'm assuming that this would probably have to do with the 12 tribes of Israel, has to do with that and how that they are somewhat estranged now. I don't know. There's probably something that I'm not seeing, but also that it would draw our minds back to the tree of life in the garden. And also something to take note is that the fruit is plentiful, and that it would come, I mean, it's saying once a month, so there's no end, like there's no hungry season, if you will, in heaven. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. I would say that this is back to the curse was put on us in Genesis, and or in out of the when we sinned in the garden, and then the curse of the Genesis 3:17 says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake; in all thy sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." This would be removed. In heaven, the curse is gone. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. This is unique because we are able to see God's face. That means that our sins have to be atoned for, and we can look at him. We're not hiding from God anymore like Adam and Eve did in the garden. And there shall be no night, and there shall be no need of a candle, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is talking about us reigning, and this would also connect back to Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air." And then we'll skip down to 14. "Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city." The redeemed are reunited with the tree of life, and we are back in the presence of our Creator. I want to do whatever I can to make it to that, to see this amazing place. Thank you.
traveling on with joy in my song, and heaven in my heart. I see the world today through different eyes. There's beauty all around with peace inside. And even mid the shadows growing dark, my way is bright with heaven in my heart. I've never been to heaven, but I know I'm on my way. I've never heard the angels, but I will some joyful day. I do not know how far I have to go, but I've made a start. So I'm traveling on with joy in my song, and heaven in my heart. Yes, I'm traveling on with joy in my song, and heaven in my heart. Somewhere there is a land called heaven. Somewhere there is a country of peace. Somewhere there are no heartaches. Somewhere all trouble cease. Somewhere there is a land called home. That somewhere is where I want to go, to that home. Joyful faces will be aglow in heaven. Jesus' presence will be the light shining clear. No scars of sin to haunt us, no broken dreams and tears. Oh, somewhere there's a land called home. That somewhere
song by the youth. Well, I guess the big question is, what will it be like? I guess we all wonder that. And I know we've all kind of got our own little vision of what it is. I guess I got to thinking on it pretty young in my life, and I guess I haven't really changed from what I thought heaven would be like from when I was real young till now. When I was five, my sister, that was a couple of years older than me, passed away suddenly, and we were really bonded together. We did everything together. She loved to sing, and we sang all the time wherever we was, and it was pretty traumatic when she was taken suddenly. And I know I had many, many, many questions from my parents and the rest of my family of what heaven was like, where she was, and if we could go there and whatever. And you know, through all that, I got a picture of what I thought heaven was like, and that it was a very beautiful paradise of some kind where there was no more parting, no more tears, no more sadness. And I guess that's kind of what I still think today, that that's just kind of what it is. It'll be a place where we'll meet our loved ones. And I do believe that we will know our loved ones. I just think, and Stan didn't mention that, but you know, in the Transfiguration on that mountain, you know, where Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, was there with his two disciples. They knew instantly who them men were. And them men had died for hundreds of years before that. So I think that's just the way it'll be. We will know. We will know as we are known. And that will be a glorious reunion when we can do that. And another reason why I think that we will know is that it's quite an experience for us as a family. When my mother passed, she was 95, and she was well with it till the end. And she had a real bad fall, and a couple of days later, she passed. But her last day, she hadn't spoken or done anything for several hours, and all of a sudden she roused and she said, "Mama, mama, mama," and it was in that tone that you hear when you see somebody meet someone that they haven't seen for a long time, and just all of a sudden they see them. And it was really something. A couple hours later she passed. So I do believe that we will know people there. We'll know our loved ones, and we'll probably know who John the Baptist is without being told. So I think that will be a glorious time. There's one thing that I wonder about at times. If we know everyone there, will we know those of our loved ones or close ones that are not there? And I wonder, there will be no sadness, no tears, no none of that, no grieving. So is there going to be another dimension about our heavenly bodies that will take care of that situation? Or how is that? If anyone has some input on that, I'd like to hear that.
Thank you.
just
beyond the shining shrine.
Just beyond
the seven settings. There will be
y'all for taking part. I really was inspired tonight. Are there any announcements? If not, let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, come before you tonight to thank you for this time we can spend together, to be reminded of our final destination and the joy that awaits us there. We just pray that you be with us through this week. And I want to lift up Darla in prayer as well tonight. Lord, just ask to be with her. Pray a blessing upon this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Steve and Judy will be the next committee members.